Thank you, Larry. This morning, Brother Jamie Myron will provide us with the words of exhortation. So it's my pleasure then to introduce him now and to turn the meeting over to him, Brother Jamie.
Thank you, Brother Matt, wherever you are. I must say, it's been about 3 or 4 years since I've given an exhortation, and this is an odd way to be reintroduced at a platform in an empty hall. But it is my pleasure to be here. I'm very thankful for this opportunity. And I must say that the opening hymn that we had, especially in times like today, is an exhortation unto itself. Now, I've had this thought for this exhortation for quite a while. And last week, Brother Dan mentioned his father using props in talks, and other brethren up in Vernon who would do the same. And I promise you that this was already in my mind before that. And I remember Uncle Harold's talks, and the props that he used were quite ornate. Mine, however, not. But basically, this is where we're going to start. This, if you all remember from your school years, is a family tree. Right? Family tree. That's me, great-grandparents, grandparents, parents. We're all very familiar with this. This is our genealogy, where we came from, who made us, what made us, our family history, and what they experienced and how that affected their lives and how that affected our lives in turn. And through generations, certain things are passed down, both good and bad. Now, it's not always the case, and more so in past, there was a family business. If your great-grandfather was a farmer, chances are your grandfather was a farmer, your father was a farmer, and you as well. Reason being, parents teach their children what they know. And that's because you cannot teach what you do not know. Now, genealogy has been around from the beginning. All through Scripture, it is there. And I'm sure everyone here watching was tasked at some point in their school to make a family tree. And you shared that with your classmates, where you came from, what country, your nationality, religion, your family business, achievements, and so forth. And some would be proud, but there was others who would be embarrassed. Some had large trees, and some had rather small. And with the advent of such things as Ancestry.com, and others very similar, it is far easier to find out these things. Even with DNA, you can track down not just the country, but even the city where your family originated from. It is far more accurate than the verbal family stories or of the old family Bible that recorded births and deaths. When my grandmother passed away, we found a lot of writings and newspaper clippings of family members' birth dates and their obituaries, most of which my siblings and I never knew or even heard of. But this was her way of keeping the family history. And there's even a TV show, and it's called Who Do You Think You Are? And it follows celebrities as they track down their family tree. And usually, they are finding a distant relative that did something amazing. Usually people will boast of an ancestor who was amazing or courageous or famous in one way or another, as if that was somehow passed down to them or that they can take credit for their great-grandfather or grandmother's doings. Rarely do you find someone that boasts that their descendant was a criminal or a serial killer. My grandfather was a veterinarian. My father was a truck driver. I once owned a cat, and I own a pickup truck. That is as far as that connection goes for me. And again, I'm not trying to put down family heritage, family history, or any such thing as that. I'm just stating that we are not who came before us. There is, however, a great correlation between how we were raised and who we become. There are great influences in our lives that shape our character. But again, that is also a choice that we make as to how much of that will take hold onto our lives. Scripture shows us that there are good family lines and evil family lines. It also shows us that that can change from generation to generation. There was good kings and bad kings, good judges and bad judges, all within the same bloodline. Now, back to my basic prop. This is where my family tree begins for me, and that's right here. My grandparents. Not this side, not up here, right here. Because that is when my family entered into the truth. That's where my bloodline, my true bloodline, starts. And from my grandparents, Jack and Ruby, there were roughly 54 descendants coming down from that tree. Some of those are ones that have married into our family. Now, 18 of which got baptized. Two have passed away being baptized. And there are still now only 8 currently in fellowship. That means that less than half of the descendants came into the truth, and half that came into the truth have left. Not the strongest family tree in the truth. Now, I bring this up simply as an example. The truth was there. God's teachings were there. Mistakes were made, yes. But ultimately, the choices were made by individuals, whether to follow God or not to follow God. Now, just because your family history has a long line of believers does not mean that everyone in the family will follow. The same is true as if you have a long line of non-believers in God. That does not mean that family members will not believe. And many of our members are first generation Christadelphians. Many have spouses that are outside the truth. And that does not discount who they are or who we are. We here today are experiencing something we never have. The world almost shut down. Don't go out. Social distance. Guard yourself from the invisible enemy. Now, one of three things is going to happen. One, we're going to get sick and die. Two, Christ will return and pluck us out of this situation. Or three, the world will get past us and will slowly go back to business as usual. Now, all three of these things come with their own stress, anxiety, and fear. And hope. Now, because I'm speaking, I'll state my fears to these three outcomes. And I'm sure that at least a few of you will share my fears. Situation one, I don't want to get sick and die. Mainly because I fear I will not be judged worthy to enter the kingdom. The second outcome, although I do look forward to seeing Christ return in all his power and glory. Like answer one, I fear I will not be judged worthy to witness it. And three, I fear that if this does go away, that I will slip back into the ways of the world again. And as in one and two, not be worthy. Now I think that these are valid fears. And I do, like I said, believe that some of you have these same fears. Now, right about now is when everyone is saying, okay, Jamie, you've given us doom and gloom, and how does this help us? What are the answers? How do we get through these scary times? And what's with this family tree? Well, this family tree absolutely means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Until we turn it upside down. That's me. That's you. That's you. And you. And you. And you. This is all of us. We've been called. And this is not new members, or it could be new members, but this is all of us on our journey towards the kingdom, going together with those of like precious faith. Now, as we continue on this journey, we can have our slips and falls and slide back. But that does not mean that the journey's over. We pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we continue moving forward towards that kingdom, following in our Lord Jesus Christ's footsteps. So it doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter what our family line is. What does matter is that we've all here answered the call. We've answered God's call, and we're following in Christ's footsteps. Now, this pandemic has given all of us a timeout, a pause, to reflect and take back, a step back from the world, and to see, without hanging out with our friends, without going to movies or bars or restaurants or shopping or playing soccer or football, or more or less just wasting our lives away, our lives are still not over. We're still living. We're still working if we can. And it's a reminder how closely involved in the world have our lives been. Dr. Bonney says that living a safe, humble, respectful life, following the rules, will help keep us safe. Distancing ourselves from one another will keep us safe. And where have we heard this before? In Scripture. God has told us this time and time again, that we must be prepared, we must keep safe, we must separate ourselves from those that do not believe, whether they be family or friends. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 to 36. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it was had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. They were told to be prepared. They were told to make all the necessary precautions and gatherings and preparations on the sixth day, to not do work on the Sabbath. This man was not prepared. He took it upon himself to do things his way. And as a result, he died. Number 16 tells us of Korah's rebellion. He thought himself to be greater than what he was and demanded more power and authority. As a result, he died and those that were with him. We turn over to John chapter 4. Verses 11 to 13. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." For me, I take this, that this woman was relying on Jacob's well as if it had special powers. It was just a well passed down that held water. And those that drink from it, our Lord tells us, tells her, that they will thirst again. Now, if we go now, and all my references are from this past week's sections of readings, or there'll be a couple cross-references, but most of these stories will be fresh in our minds from these few verses being pulled. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend in the truth is more important than a family member who is not. And Ruth was a great example of that. As she chose to follow after and said, I will follow you. I will go wherever you go. Your God will be my God. That was a true friend, not a blood relative, but a true friend in the truth. Again, if we go to Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Over the page to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. We must be careful of the friends that we choose, again, whether they be blood or not. Are we hanging around with angry people? Are we hanging around with unbelievers? What is the influence on us? Over to Philippians Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We must look forward, not behind, not chasing down distant relatives that might have done something great and wonderful and relying on that or putting blame on past family members. We must be looking forward towards the kingdom. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. To be content with where we are and what we have. And that is brought back in, cross-referenced over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 to 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. It's the simple things in life, not chasing the glitz and the glimmer, the fame and the fortune, but just living a humble, simple life. Full of richness, contentment, if we follow on that path towards the kingdom. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? God has a plan for us. He has called us out. He knows what our hearts are. He knows where we are going to go. We do not. And in verse 29 and 30 of the same chapter, the glory of a young man is their strength, and the splendor of the old men is their gray hair. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depth of the heart. When we're young, we're full of vinegar. We're full of fire. We know our own way. We know a better way. As we get old and gray, we understand that God's ways are the true ways, and that being disciplined by our Father in heaven is simply to keep us on the right track. Proverbs 21, verses 2 and 3. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Take a moment to think of that. To do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. But what is man's version of that? The world's version of that? It is easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. A 180 turn to God's view. Back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but that of God. It doesn't matter what our lineage is. It doesn't matter where we came from, who raised us, who didn't raise us. If we answer the call, we will be accepted as God's children. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. All of us. If we have accepted the call, we are all children. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Every one of us here, joining here, has witnessed a small child following after their father, imitating them, whether it be movements, actions, work, or the such. And our Father in heaven tells us to be imitators of him as those dear children. Just a few more references, brothers and sisters. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Over the page to John chapter 4 and in verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, a living spring, up into everlasting life. One more over in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. It doesn't matter if we're rich. It doesn't matter if we're poor. It doesn't matter if we come from a famous, courageous bloodline or a poor and humble bloodline. Brothers and sisters, I also put forth that this also relates to our status in the truth, whether we are old and long in the truth or whether we are young and fresh into the truth. God is the maker of us all. And now everyone can look back in our lives and we can see an instant, at least one, where God has given us a wake-up call, a reminder to get our lives back on track. But today, the reality is the whole world is being given this wake-up call. Throughout Scripture, our Father in heaven has always tried, almost always tried, to give a second chance before punishment. Always, and in general, there was a warning. And now, this may not be the time of our Lord Jesus' return, but this is most definitely a warning, a wake-up call, a second chance. And we need to listen to that. And as we partake of this bread and the wine, the symbols of forgiveness, a pathway to everlasting life, we need to take a moment to evaluate ourselves. More than a moment. To see our lives. To reflect on the individual things that we need to change. Remembering that our Father in heaven does not want to punish us. He does not want to be cruel. He wants us to follow his laws, to distance ourselves from the ways of this world, to live a humble, respectful life, taking care of our loved ones, making sure that we're not being pulled away and swayed in any way that will take us away from that path. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 to 32. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.